In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to be getting ready now for Trinity Sunday, which in one way is not a liturgical feast, and in another way is the capstone of all the feasts. It's been celebrated for quite a while. At least it's been around a long time. Finally, I think by the 9th century it was established as a feast. But the first thing we're going to do now is look at Verbum Domini, number 72, which is on reading the scriptures. And we're going to go over what's said here, and maybe next week I'll go over Lectio Divina, which is sacred reading. First, though, we'll do it as it comes from Verbum Domini. If it is true, this is number 72, if it is true that the liturgy is the privileged place for the proclamation, hearing, and celebration of the Word of God, it is likewise the case that this encounter, that's an important word to notice, he uses it a lot, encounter, must be prepared in the hearts of the faithful and then deepened and assimilated above all by them. Now this is a very important statement, the next one he makes. The Christian life is essentially marked by an encounter with Jesus Christ, who calls us to follow him. The Christian life, you see, is essentially marked by an encounter with Jesus Christ. So it's not essentially marked by baptism or regular Sunday Mass, which is very helpful, but by an encounter with Jesus Christ. Our Lord wants to have that personal, experiential relationship with us. And now the Pope is going to describe what is the role of sacred scripture in this call, you see. I'm going to read it once more. The Christian life is essentially marked by an encounter with Jesus Christ, who calls us to follow him. For this reason, the Synod of Bishops frequently spoke of the importance of pastoral care in the Christian communities as the proper setting where a personal and communal journey based on the Word of God can occur and truly serve as the basis for our spiritual life. That's his principle now that he's going to develop. So what characterizes our Christian Catholic life? An encounter with Jesus Christ, a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, sustained by the life of the Church, the liturgy and the Scriptures, and the Scriptures as they are in the liturgy, which is what we're doing, preparing here. You see? With the Synod Fathers, this is the Pope, expressed my heartfelt hope for the flowering of a, and now he quotes from the Propositios, a new season of greater love for sacred scripture on the part of every member of the people of God, so that their prayerful and faith-filled reading of the Bible will, with time, deepen, and once again, deepen their personal relationship with Jesus. You see, the Bible is not for information. It's for a personal encounter with Jesus, who is the Word of God. And so, the Word of God is incarnate in Jesus Christ, but the Word of God expresses himself as well in the sacred scriptures. And this is a absolute rock bottom of the Catholic faith, the Christian faith. At the Reformation, the Protestants put accent on the scriptures, and therefore we put accent on the sacraments, because they didn't accept the sacraments except baptism, in the same way that we do, or did now. So they had to put accent on the scripture, that's all they had. We went through a difficult time at that point. There were translations of the scriptures being proliferated in all the vernacular liturgies. And everyone, or a lot of them, had a particular slant. The ones by the Protestants went one way, the ones by the Catholics went another. So the first one, he said, look, the authentic text is the Vulgate, the Latin text. And what they meant by that wasn't, you got to read only this, but in any disquisition, in any theological and conversation with anybody, this is your basis. And it was until the recent work to translate the Bible into the vernacular languages under the aegis and guidance of the Church. And we've had some good ecumenical efforts too. We even have now a New Testament commented on by Jewish scholars. It's a very fine piece of work, actually. Okay, my point here is, you see, the prayerful and faith-filled reading of the Bible will, with time, deepen their personal relationship with Jesus. That's the point. The Christian is someone who has a living, experiential, personal relationship with Jesus. That's the Christian, in the full sense of the term. And so you see, the need for preaching is to bring people to that experiential relationship, personal relationship with Jesus. That's the heart of it. And that's why, as I've mentioned, and we looked and saw the text here, in number 56, you see, that the word preached on Sunday has, in an analogous way, contains Christ. Just like the Eucharist. It's analogous. It's not the same, but it's analogous to the Eucharist. Now he's going on to develop this. What about our personal prolongation? I think most people will agree today that the term Lectio Divina, sacred reading, which is applied to the personal reading of Scripture and should be, has its origin in the liturgy. It's a liturgical term. So what we do, we are always united with the body. We are always worshiping the Lord with the body, even when we are reading for our Lord to talk to us and establish more deeply our personal relationship with Him. Now the Pope is going to quote St. Jerome a lot, and that's not a surprise. St. Jerome was the patron saint of reading Scripture, I guess. Throughout the history of the Church, numerous saints have spoken of the need for knowledge of Scripture in order to grow in love for Christ. Ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ, St. Jerome said. Pretty blunt. St. Jerome, in his great love for the Word of God, often wondered, how could one live without the knowledge of Scripture by which we come to know Christ Himself, who is the life of the believer? Now, these people are very serious, you see. They're not saying 10 or 15 minutes a week. They're saying between a half hour and an hour a day, pondering the Scripture, taking the time to read the Scriptures prayerfully. Next week, I'm going to go over a schema of Lectio Divina that's very popular still. It's done by the monks. The average monastic order in those days had 3 hours a day for the monks to read Scripture. 3 hours a day. And that's in addition to all the time they spent in choir singing the Psalms, listening to the readings and the Fathers of the Church. Because it's our food. We live by this. And as we grow in experiencing its power in our lives, we realize we can't do without it. It's so powerful. He knew well that the Bible is the means, and this again is a quote from St. Jerome, And he says it's the means, quote, by which God speaks daily to believers. God speaks daily to believers. This would mean, for most Catholics, a radical change in the way they order their days. To put first the reading of Scripture. In the family as well. Okay. His advice to the Roman matron Leta about raising her daughter was this. This is amazing. I don't remember the first time I read it, maybe 60 years ago. Be sure she studies a passage of Scripture each day. This is a little girl. Prayer should follow reading, and reading follow prayer, so that in the place of jewelry and silk, she may love the divine books. That's the way to bring up a girl, so that she loves the Bible. Don't worry about her hairdo and her perfume. Worry about knowing Jesus. And she will have a charm and an attractiveness that no dress, no perfume, no makeup could ever equal. And I'm sure you know what I mean. Now, Jerome's counsel to the priest, Nepotian, can also be applied to us. This is to one of the priests. Read the divine scriptures frequently. Indeed, the sacred book should never be out of your hands. Learn there what you must teach. That is advice to preachers, right? This is one of the things we're doing here, you see. Learn there what you should preach. As it becomes experiential knowledge, you've got something to say. And in that saying, as the Pope says, analogously, Christ is present as he is in the Eucharist. And that's that beautiful text of St. Thomas, where he says that the power of the Word, suffused by the Spirit, is such that it happens frequently in sermons in which the Spirit is suffusing the Word, what? That Word scatters the tangled mass of sins and demons. Every preacher should experience this. All we have to do is love the Word and submit ourselves to it. And then the Pope goes on, let us follow the example of this great saint who devoted his life to the study of Scripture and who gave the Church his Latin translation, the Vulgate, as well as the example of all those saints who made an encounter with Christ the center of their spiritual life. The encounter with Christ. How many times has he said this? You see, the encounter with Christ, the center of their spiritual lives. Let us renew our efforts to understand deeply the Word which God has given to his Church. Thus, we can aim for that high standard of ordinary Christian living. That's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? The high standard of ordinary Christian living. It's a quote from John Paul II. Ordinary Christian living is a high standard. Okay, the Pope, John Paul II, said that in his Novo Millennium Iniunte, as he began the third millennium. So that's what it means. This is the exhortation to read the Scriptures. There are ways to do this. Oh, I get bored. Put the Scriptures there in front of you, get a pencil and paper, and write out what you're reading. That'll keep you glued to it. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Ask Our Lady to help you. She was at a young age, she was pondering the Scriptures. I can promise you, having been led by the Lord to do this my whole life long, there are, as St. Thomas says, unutterable delights in contacting and having a personal encounter with the Word. In the Word. Amen.